We are now in our 10th week in our study series of this wonderful historical book na ang tawag ay Genesis, the story of beginnings. Kung babalik-aral tayo in Genesis chapter 1, God's perfect creation was completed within 7 days. In this perfect world, we have witnessed the perfect marriage. Na kung saan itong perfect couple na to had a perfect relationship to a perfect creator God. Makikita po yun sa Genesis chapter 2. Pero itong perfect fellowship na ito was short-lived. Dahil sa Genesis chapter 3, imperfection came. Imperfection entered the world because of sin. Sin badly affected man and the whole world. Tapos pagdating po ng Genesis chapter 4, palala po ng palala ang kasalanan at palawak ng palawak po. Palayo ng palayo, dumadami ang tao. Pag dumadami po ang tao, dumadami po ang korupsyon sa buong mundo. At kinatawan po ito ni Cain, isang mamamatay tao, at ng kanyang polygamous and violent descendant na si Lamech, which is inaral po natin sa chapter 4. But we saw a glimmer of hope pagdating po ng chapter 5 because dun po sa chapter 5 yung line ni Seth, the godly line, and from there towards the end of that list, makikita po natin si Noah. And as we studied last week, God called Noah, revealed His plan to destroy the whole world and save them at ang kanyang family by creating an ark. So Noah obeyed everything the Lord has instructed him, and he waited in faith. Nakita natin ang patience ng Diyos at ang rebellion ng tao. But now in this chapter, God's patience has run out. Enough is enough. God in His holiness will exercise judgment against the world through a flood. But also in this passage, we will see God's mercy shining, displayed sa family ni Noah. God's wrath is against all sinners, but He remembers and acts on behalf of His people. God's wrath is against all sinners, but He remembers and acts on behalf of His people. These chapters are divided into three. Number one, God's righteous anger against sinners. Chapter 7, the whole passage. Number two, God remembers His people. From chapter 8, verse 1 up to verse 19. And number three, God reassures His covenant. From chapter 8, verse 20, hanggang chapter 9, verse 29. So God's righteous anger, God remembers His people, God reassures His covenant. In one way, it's saying God's judgment, mercy, and grace. Let's jump into number one. God's righteous anger against sinners. So chapter 7, po, verses 1 hanggang 9, God commanded Noah and his family at lahat ng mga animals sa mundo na po ito in pairs, both clean and unclean, medyo rough ang translation ng Tagalog natin, maamo at hindi maamo, but really, it's more of ceremonially clean and ceremonially unclean to enter yung ark. Kasi within 7 days, after yung 7 days, God will destroy the world. That was the instruction. Tapos pagdating po ng 7th day, God, as expected, did what He said. Tingnan niyo po yung verse 10 hanggang 14. And after 7 days, the waters of the flood came up the earth in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, on the 17th day of the month, on the day all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were opened, and rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and his sons, Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the 3 wives of his sons were them entered the ark. Verse 14, then in every beast according to its kind, and all the livestock according to its kinds, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, every winged creature. Friends, Noah's ark No, the Noah's Ark story is not an amusing children's story. Na madalas nakikita natin na kung saan yung mga libro na may cartoons na ark na drawing, and from there, yung mga ulo ng mga animals nagpa-pop out, tapos nakangiti lahat. Di ba? Parang ang saya-saya nilang kasama si Noah. Actually, that's quite the opposite. They were not happy. They were terrified. And we'll see later on. May mga view na nagsasabi na ang flood daw po sa Genesis 7 ay hindi daw po global. Hindi raw universal, hindi raw buong mundo, hindi global, kung hindi local lang daw to. Na nakakonfine sa isang location, dun lang daw umapaw ang bahat, pero hindi raw sa buong mundo. Now, maybe you heard that view. Some noted theologians held on to that view. Pero I think there are a lot of problems with that view. At makikita po natin ang passage ng scriptures kung bakit. Kasi clearly, sa chapter 7, verses 19 hanggang 23, paulit-ulit binanggit ang mga synonymous words na ito, increased, prevailed, and all. Verse 17, the waters increased and bore up the ark and rose high above the earth. Verse 18, the waters prevailed, umapaw, and increased greatly on the earth, buong mundo. Okay? Verse 19, and the waters prevailed so mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. Verse 20, the waters prevailed above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits deep. Now, gano'ng kalalim niyo, mga 22 feet yung lalim sa pinakamataas na bundok ng time na yon. And verse 22, everything on the dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. So malinaw po, di ba? So this is a global flood. This is not a localized flood. Kung localized lahat ng bahana ito, hindi global, bakit hindi na lang pinapunta ng Panginoon si Noah at lahat ng mga hayop doon sa pinakamataas sa bundok, parang Mount Everest sa Nepal? But hindi na lang doon, bakit gumawa pa siya ng ark? Bakit doon na lang sila kung pwede naman, kung may mapupuntahan naman na medyo mataas? Nabanggit din sa New Testament, sa 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 6, nalubog sa ilalim ng tubig ang buong mundo nung time ni Noah. The New Testament echoes that. Tingnan niyo po yun. And I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 hanggang 6. They deliberately overlooked this. By the word of God, the heavens came into being long ago, and the earth was brought about the water through water. Verse 6, through these the world of that time perished when it was flooded. Kung hindi ho global yung flood, dapat may natira. Ang natira lang naman na buhay doon, yung mga nasa ark. Just imagine, friends, yung pakiramdam ni Noah at ng kanyang mga pamilya during yung time na yon. Pakiramdam ng mga animals, pakiramdam ni Noah, pakiramdam ng kanyang mga anak, asawa, at yung mga anak, asawa ng kanyang mga anak. They were terrified, as mentioned kanina. For 40 days and 40 nights, wala silang madinig kung hindi ang lakas ng sipol ng hangin. If you were raised up sa Philippines, you have encountered one of the strongest storms sa ating bansa. And you know, kapag malakas ang bagyo, halos sumisipol na. Imagine, they are in that ark, yun lang ang naririnig nila. At yung hagupit ng hangin at yung mga alon na humakampas sa kanilang barko. Ang mga malahiganting alon na humahampas nga, tangay-tangay ko ano-ano mang bagay, tangay-tangay, pati bangkay. Ang takot na bumabalot sa isipan nila na baka pati tayo ay pumanaw. So it was a terrifying situation. And worse, could you imagine ang horror of hearing ang mga hiyawan ng mga tao sa labas ng ark? Na kung saan probably mga kamag-anak nila. At ang lungkot na nararamdaman nila na after a few hours, days, yung coral na hiyawan na yon has come to cease. O hindi na nila marinig yung hiyawan. Ang narinig lang nila yung hagupit ng hangin, yung alon, which means they were all dead. Everything and everyone they knew died. yung mga magulang na mga asawa ng kanyang mga anak, mga kapatid. This is tragic. Noah's family were probably weeping noong time na yon. Maring tinatanong mo sa sarili ngayong oras na ito, bakit nagawa ng Diyos yan? Hindi fair yan, Pastor! Aba! Bakit ganoon ang Panginoon? That's not fair! Was God unfair? Tingnan natin po yung context, if God was not fair. The moment in Genesis 1 that Adam ate the forbidden fruit, he should have died. Pero he lived another day and another day, and umabot po siya ng 930 years. The moment that Cain murdered his brother, God should have marked him for dead. But instead, he was marked by grace to preserve his life. When Lamech committed polygamy and violence and was proud of it, God should have struck him dead. But instead, he get even to live long life para makita na nag-advance ang civilization nila. When Noah preached a sermon of righteousness for 120 years, 12 decades, and pointing them to the only means for them to be saved, a huge ark sa likod niya, no one repented. No one saw their sins. No one sees that this is but a means, the only means of salvation. No one listened to him. He was mocked, made fun of, marked as fool. No one responded. I could have imagined that even the moment that the animals were all walking in pairs, papaakyat ng ark, I believe Noah was still preaching away. May oras pa! Pasok! Babagsak, hindi nyo ba nakikita ito? And then the doors were shut. God closed them in. That's very important sa inyong observations. It was God who closed them in. It was God who brought the animals to the ark. It was God who closed them in. And dahan-dahan pumatak yung ulan. And I strongly assume na nagse-celebrate pa sila noon. That was the first time they encountered rain. Until it got worse. Mga kaibigan, the problem was not a heartless God, but a sin-hardened heart humanity. That's the problem. Tinanggihan nila ang tanging kaligtasan ng kanilang buhay. Nangyari ito during the time that people were doing their normal daily routines. Doing things however they want to do. Ito'y nangyari sa kalagitnaan ng normal na kanilang ginagawa. Parang, pasok sa opisina, nagpa-party rito, nagiinuman, nagwawala, doing immoral things. They do anything that they want sa kanilang harapan at what pleases them. And from there, nangyari po yung judgment. Ganito po ang nangyayari sa panahon natin po, hindi ba? People are doing their normal daily routines, however they want, nabubuhay na parang walang judgment na parating. Friends, may parating po na judgment, and this judgment is greater than the flood judgment. At tiyak po na darating ito in a normal day na hindi natin inaasahan. Sinabi ni Jesus Christ sa Matthew 24, verses 37-39, "For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, there were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." Noah was preaching for 12 decades. The judgment is coming. The judgment is coming. Come to the ark for salvation. No one listened. They ignored him. Friends, is this you? Is this you? Have you been hearing your family members, your friends, your colleagues about the coming judgment and the hope of salvation, and you kept ignoring them? Naging preoccupied ka ba sa mga bagay sa mundong ito? Naghahangad ka ba ng pansamantalang kaligayahan, kasiyahan, kapayapaan, kasaganahan sa mundo na ito, kaya ka nandito sa Dubai? Pero mga kaibigan, there is more to this than life na meron tayo ngayon. May parating na judgment at mas higit pa ito in comparison sa judgment ng flood na nangyari kay Noah. In Jesus' first coming, he was a humble servant. In Jesus' second coming, he is a dreadful judge for those who continue to ignore the Son. At kapag dumating po yung time na yon, na parang nung time ni Noah, it would be too late to knock on the door. That's Revelation chapter 6, verse 16 to 17. You can read that in your time. Christians, how are you living in light of the coming judgment? How has this truth affected your evangelism? Kung alam mo na darating ang Panginoon bukas ng umaga, would have that change yung intensity and yung passion and urgency sa pag-share mo ng gospel ni Jesus Christ? Nung college ako, it was a struggle para sa akin maging masabihin na ako isang Christian. Because I struggle with fear of man. I always do things na kung saan people will like me. It's a curse, and praise God that He had redeemed me from that and still fighting until today, till now. One day, umatend ako sa isang Christian fellowship sa campus, and in shock, one of the persons who was also invited doon nakita ako, was shocked and told me, "Uy, Alvin, Christian ka pala?" Because I was not acting like one. Friends, alam ba ng mga kasamahan mo sa trabaho, barkada mo, kamag-anak mo, mahal mo sa buhay na Kristiyano ka? At kung alam nila na Kristiyano ka, napapansin ba nila? Do they see the difference? Do you look like the Lord Jesus Christ or do you look like the world? O baka naman ang sinasabi nila, ay ganun din pala. Walang pagkakaiba. Second, God remembers His people. Chapter 8, verse 1. But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind blow over the earth and the waters subsided. God remembered. Hindi nangangahulugan na nakalimot ang Panginoon o nakalimutan ho niya si Noah. God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. That can never happen. That is contradictory to His nature. So never. It means that God acted on a prior covenant na ginawa niya kay Noah. So He made a covenant. He made a promise. And the promise and the covenant with is, ikaw ay ipipreserve ko at saka yung family mo. But even more than that, God was committed to preserve a godly line of people throughout history. Okay? Hanggang pagdating ng Redeemer na si Jesus Christ. Nabanggit yun sa Genesis chapter 3. Natatalunin ng Redeemer na ito yung works ni Satan. God was preserving ang godly line ni Adam, Seth, Noah, Abraham, David, until sa pagdating ng Savior ng mundo, Jesus Christ. So God remembered Noah. Medyo matagal-tagal din po ang inantay nila sa loob ng ark, kung babasahin po natin yon. Pagkatapos po ng bagyo, matagal din ang inantay nila. Naisip niyo ba kung anong kalagayan nila sa loob na yon, ng time na yon? You ever pondered about that? No? Naisip niyo ba kung ano ang kanilang kalagayan? Alam mo yun? Nagsisiksikan, siguro yung kamag-anak, kasama yung mga animals. Kung ikaw ay pet lover, nakalakip po sa pagkakaroon ng cute, adorable, and playful na aso o pusa ay ang responsibility of cleaning up after them, hindi ba? Kasi kung hindi, mangangamoy ang kanilang excrements. I think I butchered that one. Okay. Excrements. And that wouldn't be hygienic, di ba? So kailangan tinitry natin mag-clean after sa mga droppings. Just imagine yung aso o pusa lang yon, just imagine sa loob ng ark. Malalaking hayop, hindi ba? You gotta imagine yung conditions nila ng time na yon. At kamusay naman natin yung samahan nila bilang pamilya. Of all people sa mga lumipas na generations, tayo po ang nakakaunawa nito. We know what it means to be locked down with family members for a while. Hindi ba? Yes, we know the joys and the same time the challenges na kapag madalas magkasama o araw-araw. Pero ang mas mabigat marahil na hinaharap ng pamilya ni Noah is this, uncertainty. That's the biggest challenge. Uncertainty. Walang katiyakan. Walang katiyakan kung hanggang kailan ba ako nandito. Hanggang dito na lang ba kami, palutang-lutang? Hindi na naman umuulan na. O baka naman dito na ako tatanda. Ito na ba yon? Ito na ba ang bagong norm? Does that sound familiar? Ito ang mga dahilan kung bakit paulit-ulit sa pagpapalipad ni Noah ng mga ibon, kagaya ng raven at mga doves. Ang kalagayan nila Noah sa chapter 8 highlights their waiting and hope na sila'y pakakawalan sa bagong mundo. Ang paulit-ulit na salita sa chapter na to is this, and Noah waited. And Noah waited. And Noah waited. Friends, ito ba ang kalagayan mo ngayong oras na ito? Pakiramdam mo ba na kinalimutan ka na ng Diyos? Pakiramdam mo ba na pinag-iintay ka ng Diyos sa wala? Paano ka tumutugon sa mga panahon na ito? Have you been patient or have you been agitated or irritable? Are you in a situation that you do not know how it's going to work out sa life mo right now? Na hindi mo alam kung magbabago ba ang iyong circumstances? Are you still waiting to get a job? Are you waiting for the Lord to heal you physically? Or maybe restore broken relationships that you're in right now? Are you waiting for that special someone you've been praying for? Or that child that you long for? Are you waiting on someone to notice you? To appreciate you? To reward you? To promote you? To accept you, to love you back. And you feel that you've been waiting and waiting and waiting for so long. It seems that God is not answering. Has God forgotten about me? Nakalimutan na ba ako ng Diyos? Mga kaibigan, kadalasan, nilalagay po tayo ng Diyos sa waiting room. Why? So that He gets the glory. Kasi in the waiting room, all of our strengths, wisdom, resources are useless. Are nothing. And we come to an understanding that we are not the ones in control ng ating buhay, but God. When your wisdom and strength is frustrated. Pinapakita sa inyo ng Panginoon na wala kang kayang gawin. I'm in control, hindi ikaw. We may not know the main reason why the Lord wants us to wait, but we do know that He is sovereign. We do know that He is good. We do know that He is our Creator and He has been providing for our needs, so we can trust Him in the midst that we do not understand. Psalm 130, verse 5 to 6. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And where does he put his hope? In his word I put hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. More than the watchman for the morning. Friends, take heart. Hindi ka kinalimutan ng Diyos, lalo na kung ikaw ay anak ng Diyos. Noah trusted God's word, and so he was faithful and obedient even in the waiting. So, in our waiting, let us wait in humble reliance sa Kanya. Psalm 121, verse 1 to 2. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That's where you anchor your hope. Not on the temporal things of this world, but to the eternal being who knows what's good for you and for me. God will act in accordance to His time and His own way, hindi sa time at kapamamaraanan natin. And God did. If you would look at chapter 8, verses 14 to 17, you will get to see a glimpse of that. Nag-recede, nagsimula na po mag-recede ang baha. And from there, there was hope. Nung time na, it's interesting, is habang nandun sila sa huge na baha, global na baha, when the moment that passage says, chapter 8, verse 1, when, and God remembered Noah, doon na biglang nag-recede. Isn't that wonderful? God doesn't forget, did not forget Noah. Neither will He forget about you. Number three and last, God reassures His covenant. Still in chapter 8, verse 20 to 21. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Verse 21, when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in His heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intentions of man's heart is evil all the time. Evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. The first thing that Noah did when he got out of that boat, alam mo kung ginawa niya? Hindi uminom, he worshipped. He offered a sacrifice. Yun yung mga clean animals na nabanggit po sa chapter 7, verse 2 to 3. He slaughtered it and offered it to the Lord. That probably, some theologians believe that that took him almost a whole day just preparing these offerings, no? He spent the whole day pondering habang he was slaughtering these animals, pondering that he deserves judgment kagaya ng mga animals na to, but received mercy from God. The first thing he does, and here's the point, the first thing he does is worship. He worshiped God. His first priority as he enters the new world is to worship. Christians, is this your highest priority today? Once you open your eyes in the morning to the world that is before you, do you worship or do you grumble? Feeling na ito na naman tong araw na ito. By devoting your time, talent, and treasure to God and for kingdom purposes, that is worship. You are worshiping God. Gaya ng ginagawa po natin ngayong gabi. Taking time to commute 45 minutes to get out here after a long day's work to gather and worship God and with His people. That's worship. Taking time to sing to God, confessing your sins towards one another, praying and hearing God's word preached in order to apply it to our hearts and apply it to our brothers and sisters. That's worship. Giving our offerings, that's worship. Trusting the Lord that He will provide. Christians, worship God for God, not for ourselves. Let me say that again. Worship God for God, not for ourselves. When we worship Him, we want more of Him, not more of what we can get from Him. We want more of God. I want more of You, Lord. My soul longs for You. Not I want You, Lord, because I got something in mind. Not how it works. But friends, the Bible says only true worshipers can worship God, so we have a problem. This means hindi lahat ng kumakanta sa church, uma-attend, nagbibigay sacrificially ng kanilang mga offering, though I believe with all sincerity ginagawa to, are unable to worship God in a way that pleases Him. If ikaw ay hindi anak ng Diyos, your offering is nothing but a filthy rag sa harapan ng Diyos. You see, sa flood narrative na ito, we are not Noah. We are not Noah who built the ark and preached a sermon of righteousness. Hindi tayo si Noah. We are the people who mocked Noah and refused to enter the ark. We are not Noah who is in the ark. We are the ones who are outside the ark, facing God's judgment and are dead. As a matter of fact, Noah is not even the hero of this story. It's God. Noah and his family are just like the people outside the ark. People like you and me. Sinners who deserve God's judgment. God is the real hero of this story. God granted mercy and grace to Noah's family, just as he sent a huge wooden boat to save Noah and his family. He also sent his son, Jesus, to die on a wooden cross to save those who will come to him. In chapter 9, verses 11 to 13, God promises to never destroy the world through the flood. But there is a much greater destruction coming, friends, and this is a warning. And it's much greater than the flood judgment. The judgment flood spared no one outside the ark. Everyone were killed. Similarly, those who are outside Christ, the greater judgment will spare no one. It will not only kill the body, but kill both body and soul in hell. During the great flood, we see God unleashing His holy wrath against sinners. But at the same time, we also see God's grace displayed towards the undeserving family of Noah by persevering and preserving them. The cross of Christ is where judgment and mercy meet. On the cross, we see God's holiness in display as He judges sin. But also on the cross, we see God's mercy as Jesus serving the just sentence in our place. Jesus experienced the whole wrath of God. Jesus experienced all the wrath and no mercy. Bakit? So that we will receive all mercy and no wrath. Jesus served the complete sentence of God's judgment that we deserved. And He died for it. If you want to know kung gaano kaseryoso ang Diyos sa kasalanan mo at kasalanan ko, He died for it. He was buried. And on the third day has risen from the grave for our justification. Just like those who come to the ark are saved from the judgment flood, those who come to Jesus by repenting from their sins and trusting Christ's finished work on the cross for salvation will be forgiven. Friends, I urge you to repent from your sins and put your faith in Christ's finished work on the cross for forgiveness, for salvation, for justification, for adoption, for reconciliation to the Father. In chapter 9, verse 1 to 13, God promises never to destroy the world through the flood. And He gave a sign. And what is the sign? A rainbow. So that's the real significance of a rainbow. It's a sign that God will never judge the world anymore through flooding. The rainbow, so chapter 9, verse 13, literally means sa Hebrew, war bow. Alam niyo yung bow? Alam niyo yung bow and arrow, yung pana? Yung bow, yung parang half-circle na bow. Yung po, yun daw ang ibig sabihin nun, war bow, panggera na pana. Okay? What God is saying is this, I laid up my bow upward. I laid up my bow, my weapon, papunta sa taas. Okay? So yun ang ginawa ng Panginoon. So what does that mean? It means there will be no more condemnation. That war bow, hindi na ganon sa tao ko, hindi nandun na sa taas. There will be no more condemnation, judgment through flood. Charles Spurgeon gives a comment on this in an artistic way. Sabi niya, if the bow is pointed downwards, you will always be a bit scared because at any point the arrows could come down on us para patayin tayo or i-judge tayo. God has not stopped being a God of wrath and judgment after punang flood. He is still aiming His wrath and judgment not downwards, but upwards. On something else. On someone else. Where are they going? On Christ. He received the full wrath of God. In chapter 9, verse 20, naging magsasaka si Noah, at nagproduce po siya ng vine na ginawa niyang alak at nagpakalaseng. Ano nangyari? Noah was doing well. Bakit siya naging lasing? Bakit siya nalasing? To the point na nakahubad ho siya. Lasing na lasing. Could it be? Kasi he started really well. Could it be that he has forgotten about God? In the storm, he was faithful in the storm. Tapos pagdating naman sa vineyard, he became a fool because he fell into sin. Could it be in the vineyard he relaxed? Friends, be careful with prosperity. When things are okay, we have a tendency to spiritually relax. Kasi nasa atin lahat. And if hindi tayo mag-iingat, sooner or later, we will worship prosperity instead the giver of every good things. Noah became the first drunk recorded in Scripture, just so you know. Siya ang puunang lasengo. At nagdulot ito ng immoral na behavior na naging problema po sa kanilang pamilya. And we see that in verses 22 to 23 in chapter 9. Ang kanyang anak na ang pangalan si Ham finds him naked and then tell his brothers, Teka, bakit yun lang naman ang ginawa? Nakita niya, sinabihan niya yung kapatid para magdala ng kubo. Di ba? No. I know you can see that. Parang simple lang. Hindi ho simple yun. He made a spectacle ng kanyang tatay. Remember, nung si Adam and Eve were naked, who clothed them? God. Because there was sin and shame, but he was enjoying his eyes' delight, mocking him, probably making fun of him. We don't know what's going on, hindi na mention, but he was so entertained that tinabi niya yung mga kapatid niya, but his brothers did not buy it. Immediately, nag-action ang kanyang mga kapatid, kumuha ng kanyang kumot, hindi pa tinignan ng kanyang tatay, at binalot ang kanyang tatay. No? They did not enjoy the news and covered their father's nakedness, following whose footstep? Following the footstep of God who clothed their father, Adam. Noah blesses two sons and cursed Ham. By the way, if you want to know how kung kailan nagsalita si Noah sa whole narrative na ito ng four chapters, dito lang siya nagsalita na na-record. He cursed and he blessed. That's the only time recorded here. Christians, let us not rejoice when Christians fall to sin. Let us not be entertained kapag isa sa mga kapatiran natin ay bumagsak sa kasalanan. But instead, we should mourn. And we should point them to the one who clothed their sin and shame. Jesus Christ. As we come to an end, my prayer is that this would resound sa ating isipan as we are dismissed. God's wrath is against all sinners. But He remembers and acts on behalf of His people. Let's pray. Lord, You are holy, You are righteous, and Your righteousness demands justice. Thank You for being a holy God who does not tolerate sin. But we are also thankful, Father, that You are a merciful God who sent Your Son to be the one who would bear our sin and receive yung wrath ninyo. Would You remind us of that today? Would You remind us that You have not forgotten about us? Would You remind us, Father, that You are the Lord and God in our lives? And we should trust You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.